On the March 13th edition of WNA's Best Seat in the House, Jed Williams had Ben D'Alessandro of TheSaber.com and BD Basketball Schools in studio for the Hardcore Hoops segment. Jed and Ben took listener calls and talked about what Virginia's doing well heading into the NCAA tournament.
We have open phone lines, 6 o'clock hour, ears ringing, Tuesday edition of the Best Seat in the House, presented by Churchill Homes. Open phone lines when newsman Callahan gets off of line one.
Yeah, who's he talking to?
I have no idea. Order me a pizza, or something like that.
Order me a pizza?
No, we will have open phone lines right now with Ben D'Alessandro. I'm just kidding. Right, that's a veteran newsman right there. He's breaking a story, I'm sure, for his 704. I have no doubt. That's an institution. 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. Ben D'Alessandro from the BD Basketball School on TheSaber.com, former ACC assistant coach with us in studio. Your chance to talk some hardcore hoops. If you call in, you're automatically registered for a drawing that the crew will do after the show for a month to the Saber Edge from TheSaber.com. Some UVA hoops gear from Nike and some Virginia baseball tickets over at Davenport Field. Great chance to talk about the Cavaliers, the ACC, and how Virginia sort of steadies the ship here and gets ready for the NCAA tournament. Ben, I don't know where we begin with this Cavalier team. You know, I think what really impressed Virginia fans during the teeth of ACC play was how this team found a way to just grit out wins. Wasn't always pretty. In fact, I can't think of many performances this year that I'd frame and put in a museum. It's not a whole lot of Mona Lisa stuff. It's a lot of going to Clemson and how'd they win that? But they won that. Going to Maryland, how'd they win that? But they won that. And that's kind of stopped. And now it's sort of become just this bumpy roller coaster ride with some gutty highs like Florida State and Virginia Tech and things like that. And then some real lows. In the last 2.5 weeks, losing to the 10, 11, and 12 seeds in the ACC, albeit a very good ACC, but losing to NC State and Miami and Wake Forest. Are there any things right off the top that really jump out to you and say, this has changed about the Virginia Cavaliers in the last 2 to 3 weeks?
Well, you know, that's a great question because you make a great – I mean, you described it really well. I mean, you'd watch this team win, and, man, you were just like, this team shows character. They show toughness. They, you know, the Georgia Tech game I remember vividly. You're wondering, they're overmatched physically. You know, you saw a stronger team, offensive rebounds, almost getting loose balls, you know. And then they win the game, you know, and it's like they found a way to win, which, you know, is one of those things where coaches love teams that find a way. You know, find a way. Sometimes going into a game, you're like, I don't know what's going to happen, but we just got to find a way. And that's, you know, Singletary and Reynolds are very resourceful players. I mentioned it in Scout Report when I was talking about Virginia. They're very intelligent guys. They're tough guys. They're intelligent. They're unselfish. Even though they take a lot of shots, I believe they're unselfish players. You know, and then you always had that two or three, like a Sorori offensive rebound and a putback, key free throws, or Kane does something. So you always had two or three guys every game at key points that would step up.
And that could be a different guy or different guys, but somebody was there to answer.
One of the things that we've been talking about over the course of the last few weeks when we're talking about Virginia is their offensive inefficiency. And we were talking about creating good scoring opportunities, i.e. good shots. And even though they were winning, we kept sort of, you know what, they're still not getting great shots. How long will this last? So I don't want to say we're being sort of the Monday morning quarterback. I think a lot of us maybe saw that this was an area that Virginia wasn't getting better at, and could they maintain that? Can they continue to hit difficult shots? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're asking, you know, what different do I see, I don't see a ton different. I just see us, I see Virginia not consistently making those high level of difficulty shots that they were making, and we were kind of scratching our heads. Wow.
Yeah, especially a guy like J.R. Reynolds. And, you know, it was interesting because all year we talked about, boy, for this magic carpet ride to continue, there's got to be a third scorer. Well, there hasn't necessarily been a third scorer the last 2 weeks. There also hasn't necessarily been a second scorer because Reynolds is hurt, and clearly he's run out of gas a little bit, and I would attribute it back to the injury. The hip injury. He's got some sort of hip injury that I think has probably thrown off his balance and his rhythm, and he hasn't been the same player the last 4 or 5 games. Could it be as simple as when J.R. Reynolds isn't there as a consistent secondary guy, you're just not going to have enough pop offensively?
Well, yeah, I mean, what you're doing, you're saying, all right, these two guys, 20 points a game. All right, now what about that third? Well, now you lost half that. You know, so obviously if you're missing one of those key guys, I think those two guys are averaging, what, almost 60% of their offense, yeah, maybe more.
In ACC play,
play. So there goes a huge chunk of that. And, you know, you hope that this time that they've had the last few days before the tournament that he's been able to get that thing rectified. But, you know, it's one thing, you know, against NC State, they had a difficult time defending. Now, this is, I think, statistically the number one or two field goal percentage defensive team. So I think Lato, yeah, and his staff and those guys, were they okay? Gerald Reynolds was hurt, but one thing that you can control, you at least you'd like to be able to control game to game, is your defensive execution.
Okay.
You know, to use that term, and your defensive, you know, the way you're guarding guys.
Yeah.
And that kind of fell apart against the State team.
That's where we're going next. 977-1070. 977-1070. Let's get you hoops enthusiasts in there. 1-800-688-9462. Go one-on-one with Ben. Get registered for that Virginia prize package that we mentioned. Let's look at three losses to the worst three teams in the ACC. Miami game. Hurricanes, 10 of 18 from three for the game. 56%, including, what were they? In the second half, they were 5 of 11 on threes. Wake Forest game, Wake Forest out-rebounds Virginia, and the Demon Deacons in the second half shot nearly 50%. And then that NC State game the other day is the one that really flares up, Ben. NC State in the second half, 74% from the floor, 87% from the line, 6 of 9 from 3, 53% from the floor for the game. So clearly the defensive performance has dropped off statistically. You mentioned a drop-off in defensive execution. As you look at tapes, where has that been most apparent, that the defense that was pretty solid earlier now has some leaky spots to it?
Well, you know, honestly, I have a tough time commenting on the Miami-Wake Forest game. Two games I did not see with my own two eyes.
I don't think anybody saw the Miami,
yeah,
game. I don't even know if it was in a sinkhole.
Right. I think, you know, if a team has been playing well defensively, there should be some hard and fast reasons why. You know, and I think one of the things that Virginia does, they're not a risky defensive team. They're not a team out there in passing lanes trying to create, deflections and runouts, you know, creating offense from their defense. They're more of a containment type defensive team. I think they do a solid job sort of staying in their stance and keeping the defense in front of them. But against an NC State team, a team, in my opinion, offensively, that just mirrors Virginia.
Yeah.
The ball moves pop, pop, pop around the perimeter. Guys seem to be able to anticipate their teammates' movements. And you can't key in on one guy. You can't key in on Koster. You key on Costner, well, he's giving the ball to McCauley. You key on Grant, well, Atzer's hitting a three.
And there's Fells on the baseline.
And all of them are skilled. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about a little bit in the break, Sendek, you know, recruited guys to fit in a Princeton system.
Right.
High post, big guys, everyone can pass, everyone can shoot. Well, Sidney Lowe comes in from a profession, you know, playing and coaching in the NBA, and now he's able to use a lot of the same things that work at that level with this team. So just commenting on the NC State game, I thought Virginia ran up against a team that does an extraordinarily good job executing their offense, passing the ball, and they've got five players who can do just about everything. You know,
that's
they got
a lot to think about. They really tax every single one of your defensive players because everybody can hurt you.
Oh, yeah. And who do they beat next after Virginia?
Who did they beat next? Well, they beat Duke the day before. They beat Virginia Tech,
okay,
the day after that, and then almost beat Carolina.
Almost beat Carolina. So
it's not just Virginia.
Not just Virginia. You're looking at a really efficient offensive team.
977-1070 with Ben DiGalessandro on the best seat in the house. Look who's on line one, good friend of the show. Welcome back, Keith. How are you?
Good, Jed. Ben, the key for Virginia to get better shots, I think, is to have a third and fourth scoring option. How do we get Mami Diani, Adrian Joseph, and Jason Kane more aggressive and looking to score?
Yeah, that's a good question, Keith. I think you make a good point because what ends up happening, obviously, over the course of the season, when two guys are such focal points offensively, so aggressive offensively, is guys naturally sort of take a back seat. And that's what you're referring to, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that comes a little bit with, sort of toughness. Honestly, you mean you sort of have to be a guy who understands I have a job here to help my team out. And one way I have to do it is to be more selfish. You know, and I don't mean that in a selfish, it's me first, but hey, to help my team, I got to think about producing offensively. But I don't know if you read the scouting reports at all in the Sabre, but one of the things I've talked about is there still is a heavy, heavy burden put on Singletary and Reynolds to create on their own. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And you look at a guy like Deani, and you look at a guy like Joseph, and you look at another perimeter scorer, those guys don't have the ability to score how? On their own.
Right.
So when you're talking about a system that's really, I don't want to say individualistic, but really depends on the dribble, and it depends on guys creating on their own, and then you have guys within that system that don't have the ability to do so, well, obviously that lends itself to, you know, really an unbalanced sort of situation where you've got the guys with the super talent who can create on their own doing so, and the other guys hoping to try to find opportunities within that system. And so, you know, one of the things I've kind of harped on, and you know, Coach Leiter and his staff are doing a tremendous job, and it's not an easy job. Trust me, I've been there. But one thing, you know, I think that makes things more difficult is the fact that they don't create opportunities with the use of the screen. And I think that guys, let's say Pentanella, all right, I know the guy personally. He's actually, believe it or not, worked one of my clinics, so okay. A really good guy. But what would he be great at? He'd be
a heck of a ball screener.
A great screener. Man, he could be a great screener. And what should he do? He should create opportunities, easier opportunities for, say, a Deani or Joseph with the screen, have the defense play that action, and then look for opportunities off that to score. And now you're creating a little bit more balance. Another thing I can touch on here a little bit is the offensive movement away from the ball.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we see a Singletary or Reynolds pound, 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 and then try to take his man? Meanwhile, four guys are kind of
watching.
Okay, what's going to happen next? Hard to predict what's going to happen. You know, hard for anyone to predict.
Not as much passing as you see from an NC State, for instance. Not nearly as much ball movement, right?
I think Virginia is maybe last, if not second to last, in the league in assists.
Dead last.
Yeah, is that right?
I think it's dead last in conference play.
I'm guessing, you know, just by what I see. So yeah, you bring up a good point, Keith, and I think your dog's agreeing with me.
I think the dog wants to go for a walk.
but, you know, that's a good question. It's just one of those things I think the offensive system caters to two players, and it just makes it that much more difficult.
Keith, I think the dog's saying, I'm open. I'm in the corner. Give me the ball, Singletary. I want a three, you know?
Yeah. I think if we had more backcourt depth, you might see a little more up-tempo, a little more ball pressure. I think we're so afraid of getting JR and Sean in foul trouble, we don't extend the defense this year.
Yeah. You know, they do a great job, though, transitioning off a missed shot. Even off a made basket.
They'll look for it.
One of the things I mentioned in the scout report is in the first 6 to 8 seconds, they're lethal. And I think early in that NC State game, they had two in and outs off the break.
Right.
General Reynolds and Singletary both missed an early shot from three. So, but Keith, you know, that's a question that not many people, I think, can answer. And I'm sure Coach Leiter and staff are trying to.
Keith, great stuff. We'll let you tend to the canine, okay?
All right. You guys have a good night.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir. That's Keith on one. In the last couple of minutes with Ben DeAlessandro, you know, we've talked all year about got to have a third scorer, got to have a third. Great teams have a third scorer. And usually that has centered on Deani and Joseph because usually they're the beneficiaries of the drive and kick action, sort of, you know, gathered around the perimeter in different spots. But when I looked at your language in the Sabre.com, when you did your scouting report on Virginia, which I think was really helpful for Cavalier fans, Deani, shooter, Joseph, shooter. I mean, that's what they do. Is it hard to have a third scorer when that third guy is just a shooter? Like you said, they don't attack. And your numbers were incredible. Deani, half his shot attempts are threes. Joseph has not attempted a free throw in ACC play. Can you find a third scorer if you only have specialists as your third options?
Great question. I mean, what I'd like to see, you know, Jed, and I'm sure Coach Lando and his staff are racking their brains at this point in the season to try to, because you can only go so far playing a certain way, right. And now it's really going to get tough. You know, I guess that's an overgeneral. The answer to that question would be hard to just blanket say no, it's impossible, or yes, you can. I think that those big guys, Soroye, Pettinella, Michalauskas, can become more of a threat with the use of the screen and a little bit more ball movement. But that, you know, Deani, when he has a great game, he's shooting a three off those other guys using dribble penetration. So, I mean, hard to give you a hard and fast rule that he has to be. Of course, it helps.
Yeah.
It helps.
I was just stunned by those numbers. They're great shooters, but it speaks to kind of the lack of versatility and how one-dimensional they
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
We got a minute left. Let's take one more call, okay? Joey, we have time? Let's go to Barry on one. Hey, Barry, can you squeeze in a quick question for Ben?
Yes. Should we not sit JR down if he's hurt?
Wow.
That's quick and right to the point.
Yeah,
what do you think, Ben?
Well, at this point in the season, I think I don't think Virginia has a whole lot to save in the tank, so to speak, if you know what I mean. I mean, I think maybe you're early in the season, second, third week. He's got a hip injury. You say to yourself, you got league play coming up, or we got to get him ready for the ACC tournament. You know, this is one and done at this point, and I think you look at a player like that and you leave it up to JR, and you say, hey,
ben,
this,
trust him.
I agree with you 100%. So let's stop making excuses for him.
And if he wants to play and says, I want to play 35 minutes, then come what will.
Hey,
yes, everybody's hurt.
Barry,
quit making the excuses.
My forearm hurts, right? I've got an itch, right? I mean, everybody's banged up at this time of year.
Hey, you know what? I honestly didn't know he was hurt until Jed mentioned it, but there's a difference. You know, as a coach, we used to always use the term, you're either hurt or you're injured. You know, and my point is, if you're injured, then sit out. You know, if you're hurt, then get in and play. And I think JR, I think the kid deserves a little credit just because he's playing the best he can. He's just limited. But I see your point.
But yours and Barry's point is trust in the player, especially a veteran player. He's got to make the responsible decision for his basketball team.
That's right. You know, and I don't think anyone's making an excuse for him, Barry. I just think you look at a guy who's been very efficient throughout the season and he's struggling. And you question, okay, you got to obviously ask a question, why is that? But who knows how severe that injury is? You know, who knows?
Barry, we got to run.
Everybody's hurt this time of year, and I'm just a little surprised that Lato's used that excuse.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah. Barry, we got to run. We'll let that be a closing thought, okay? Thank you. That's Barry on line one. BD, we got to head out, but get in position, get those TiVos ready and TVs ready and all that stuff, and I know you'll enjoy the next few days, huh?
It'll be a lot of fun.
BDBasketball.com.
Before I leave.
Yeah.
3-on-3 tournament.
Yep. Give
adults.
Us a number.
Just go to the website, bdbasketball.com. It's called Seville Hoops 3-on-3, April 21st.
Cool.
And it's going to be a blast.
And
adults,
we'll
kids, everybody.
Too.
Yes,
there
sir.
We go. 7 o'clock hour next. Bendy Alessandro.